time is.
It's Pastor Adam's podcast.
Hello, my friends. We're back at it today. You know the deal. You know what day it is. You know what happens on this day. So today I'm going to talk about the gym a little bit. And I want to start with this. Today, as I was walking towards the gym from the parking lot, I saw a guy 50 yards away from me. And the reason I saw him, because I could smell him from 50 yards away. And I'm not talking body odor. I'm talking the dude went hog wild with the cologne. Come on, man. Like, if I can smell you from that far away outside, what's it going to be like in the gym? It was an older dude. He probably has been doing this his whole life. But is there anything worse than just a dude with way too much cologne? I don't know if there is. I'm a very scent-sensitive guy, but I'm just like, oh, come on, dude. I had to get in there before it was just the whole thing. But this whole thing today started with this. I notice a lot when I'm at the gym, but especially the other day, there was a whole lot of it. A lot of people videoing their workouts, snapping photos of themselves in the mirrors, flexing, selfieing during, you know, their workouts and at their workout machines. And I'm just like, no, like, stop it. No one cares. And like I said, there's a lot of that at the gym, like a lot. It's a problem. And I hate it. I don't like it at all. Not everybody has to see your entire workout routine, right? And as a matter of fact, who's watching someone's entire workout? I mean, are there people that are scrolling through and they see someone going live or they posted their whole workout and like, hold up, what? Mary just started her workout at the gym? I'm going to be busy for the next 45 minutes to an hour because this is captivating. No, nobody does that unless you're a stalker. That's when you watch it all. Go back and watch. Here, I challenge you, all the weirdos that post their gym workouts, go back into your insights and tell me how long they're actually on there. They're on it for about 3 seconds. 1 to 3 seconds as they're scrolling. They're like, hold up, what are they doing? Next. Because they don't actually care. Right? When we're on social media scrolling, you know, I was like, we see these type of videos. Like, I have them on my, you know, home pages that go through there. It happens all the time. And you know what the majority of people do when they see it? They keep on scrolling. I mean, I'm sure that there's those super nice individuals who just like everything that their friends do, just, you know, try to be supportive. I don't do that. But I guess there's people like that. They're like, they see somebody, oh, I know them, like, it's just, stop it, right? But even still, they're not actually watching it. And I'm not impressed, and they're not impressed. And I'm even saying, if I had a friend who was morbidly obese, and they started working out, and was able to lose hundreds of pounds, good for them. I'm happy for them. I'm encouraging it. Good. I'm glad you did that, right? I'm happy for that person. I'm glad you're able to be disciplined enough and dedicated to lose the weight and get healthy, right? But you know what? I still don't need to actually live that journey with you by watching you work out. It's just not, I don't need it. Nobody does. Go do that for you. Leave it alone for everybody else. Then there are these people, they call themselves fitness influencers, right? Who just work out, post said workouts on social media. And okay, now what? Again, no one really cares. And you're not influencing people to work out more. You're not. Never does someone come up to these people who call themselves the influencers and say, you know what? You really changed my life. I was just sitting on my couch scrolling and I saw you working out so hard. And then it just made me question my whole life's existence and everything that I do. And I said, if they can do it, I can do it. No, that's fantasy land talking. It doesn't really happen. It's ridiculous. What these gymfluencers, that's a little word I create. I think I created it. I don't think I've heard anybody say it. But what these gymfluencers want is, what do they want? They want attention. They want the likes. They're sitting there inside screaming, please validate me. Please tell me, give me some sort of self-worth. Because if it was just about the workout, they wouldn't have to wear next to nothing to show off their, you know, if they're a woman, their butt and their cleavage and their little waist and all that. And guys wouldn't have to flex on the camera every 5 seconds and as if they're on some Mr. Universe competition, right? That tells me it's not really about it. No, I'm an influencer. I'm helping. You're not doing anything. You're not empowering anybody. You're not doing anything like that. And when I'm working out, I see these tripods, people filming, and it just annoys me, as you can probably tell. Others around me, they're like very careful to walk around the tripods, make sure they don't walk in front of the camera or mess up a shot. I, on the other hand, I just continue to live my life and I just make no concessions as to what's going on around me. If I have to walk straight over here to get some free weights, I'm just going to go there. I'm not walking around three things because of you're going live. It's just not happening. I don't care what you're doing. I'm at the gym to do something. But what's most troubling, I think that most people think the same way as I do, but all the young people, they're like, this is what you do. This is life. Why wouldn't you videotape your workout? Why wouldn't that person take up to 50 square feet of space in the gym just to make their video look better? And it's selfish. Selfish. That's just what life is now. So that's what I want to talk about. Selfishness. And you might be saying, oh, now we're getting to the thing that you want to talk about? Well, it all works together. And so when we talk about selfishness, I remember it was probably 18 years ago, maybe 17, who knows, around that time, I was in a car with my pastor from the first church that I went to, right? And he asked me, I don't know how this came up, but he asked me if I could change one thing about the world, what would it be? And you know what I said? I don't know what I said. I can't remember what I came up with. It was probably something stupid. I don't know. I have no idea. But what I do remember from that car ride, though, was his answer. And he said, if he could change one thing about the world, it would be to get rid of selfishness. And that was a pretty good answer. That was a great answer. Still is, right? But what's so sad is, since that day, that conversation I had in that car, selfishness has gotten worse, right? A lot worse, I think. Seems like selfishness has become a foundation for most people, especially the younger generation. So I was thinking about this, and I wanted to think, what's an average morning like? Let's look at this and see how selfishness starts. Just our day, every day. So the alarm goes off, maybe. Before your feet even hit the floor, maybe you've grabbed your phone, right? You start looking, you do a quick scroll through some feeds of your preferred social media or whatever it is. Maybe you glance at your likes to see if anybody liked anything you did. Maybe you possibly check some comments, see if people have something to say. And it's become just like this involuntary reflex that you have. It's a modern day ritual. We often don't even think about it. But this constant need to check our digital lives is a symptom of something much deeper. It's a quiet and hidden struggle with selfishness. But what I'm saying isn't just about social media. Selfishness is a temptation that's plagued humanity since the Garden of Eden. And it's this subtle shift in our hearts from a focus on God and others to a primary focus on ourselves. It's the voice inside that says, what's in it for me? Or how will this make me look? Right? The Bible is clear that this is a dangerous path. James 3:16 says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder and every evil practice. It's a cancer that erodes our relationships with each other and, most importantly, with God. So let's look at a pretty common scenario that probably happens around the world far too often, like every day, multiple times a day. Say you're one of those people who are obsessed with your phone. I mean, you probably don't think you are, but if you talk to others, they might be like, ah, yeah, they have a real problem. But say you're at some family function, right? And people are having a good time. It's good to be with your family and all that. And something funny happens. Like grandma starts telling a story about a time she was making cakes for a school fundraiser. And when the cake was done cooking, whatever, the thing looked like a massive blob. And like all this stuff's happening and people are laughing and they're just happy, having a good time. We can envision something like that, right? But you, during this time, you're too busy trying to get a good photo of the occasion. Like you're working, trying to see what the lighting is different. Like, so you're trying to get good, your angles you're working on, snapping shots, using different filters, you know, trying to make everything look good. You're trying to capture the ideal shot to show off this moment. But you're so consumed with getting the perfect picture that you miss that moment. You missed the punchline of the story that grandma was telling. You missed, you know, the shared laughter. You missed the opportunity to be present. You're so focused on documenting the memory, you know, for your virtual life, your social media life, that you miss the actual memory of just being there in it. And if you look back, it wasn't about the photography or getting that perfect shot. It was about selfishness, a desire to have the perfect shot to post later on to show others what a great time you were having, rather than just having the great time right there and enjoying the time for yourself. That is the sneaky way selfishness works. It's not always about outright greed or malice. Sometimes it's just a misdirected focus. And we find this temptation like amplified in our digital age, where we have 1,000 different ways to turn every moment into some sort of performance, right? Think about the constant attention seeking that defines so much of our online interaction. When we post, are we doing it to share joy or to consume affirmation? When we share an update, is the primary goal to inspire or to gather praise? Because the line gets pretty blurry. But deep down, the heart knows the truth. The same can be said for these influencers and their, you know, curated perfection of their lives that they put out there. It's easy to fall into a trap where our identity is wrapped up in what we present to the world rather than who we are in Christ. And those workout photos and videos, while they can be a source of inspiration for some, I suppose, maybe, but I still don't really believe it. But let's, for argument's sake, let's say it can be, you know, an inspiration. We must be careful to check our motivation for it. Is the goal to celebrate the body that God has given you and to share your health journey, even though no one really cares about your health journey, if we're being honest? Or is it a subconscious, maybe not so subconscious, attempt to seek admiration for your discipline and your appearance? A good gut check is to ask, if I posted this and no one liked it, would I still be content? The answer for that to most is probably a big fat no. And that's the problem. You see, the Bible offers a radical alternative. In Philippians 2, 3 through 4, the Apostle Paul writes, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others." This is the heart of selfless life. Valuing others above yourself. And this isn't just a suggestion, it's a command. It's a direct and bold challenge to our natural self-seeking inclinations. It calls us to look away from our mirror and toward our neighbor. And this is the beauty of the gospel. We're not expected to be perfect on our own. It's an impossible task on our own strength. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, he begins to transform our hearts. The pursuit of self-interest is replaced with a genuine desire to serve and love others. We can turn a scrolling habit into, I don't know, a prayer list, or a need for attention and affirmation into a quest to affirm others. Every generation needs to try harder, a lot harder, to live more like Jesus, who lived the ultimate life of selflessness. If we read in Philippians 2, 5 through 6, it says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He laid aside his divine rights and chose to serve us, ultimately giving his life for the cross. His example is our standard, or it should be." Today, I want to encourage everybody to challenge your motives. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal any areas where selfishness has taken root. Let's ask him to help put others first, even in the smallest ways. They could be as simple as letting someone go ahead of you in line, or sending an encouraging text to a friend for no reason, or putting down your phone and be fully present with people that God has placed in your life. But also, that also means if you do that, if you do something nice, you go out of your way for somebody, you really do that, don't post about it on social media that you did those things. That's crazy, because that's you're getting more. Look what I did for somebody. Stop it. That's not what it's about. As Galatians 5:13 reminds us, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. In doing so, we not only bless those around us, but also draw closer to the heart of God." So the point of today's devotional, this podcast, is selfishness is bad. Selflessness, that's good. Number two, be like Jesus. And number three, no one wants to see your workout videos or your selfies, your workouts. Just stop it. So if you've enjoyed this devotional podcast, please send it to someone who needs to hear what I have to say, what God has prompted me to bring to the masses. Send this to somebody that you are like, you know, I do know one of these fitness influencers, these gym influencers. I do know that. Let me send this up. We'll see. Although you're probably going to get some friendly fire back. I'm just warning you up front. They don't like to be, this message I'm going to give them may not, but they still might need to, I think they need to hear it. So you should just stand out in your faith and be like, look, I'm going to send this. What? It's just a message that God laid on his heart to give. Why are you getting mad at me? That's what you say to them. I wasn't thinking of you. You do that fitness stuff, right? Right. So if you have maybe also the younger generation who thinks this is normal, send it to them. Maybe you have a sister that does, or a brother, another family member, a coworker. Send it out. What do you got to lose? You got nothing to lose, right? So until next week, you have a good one.